Good evening and welcome. This has been, how should I put it? Wow, I've had 2 months of doing podcasts like 4 weeks apart, and this one is coming on hard on the heels of the last one. And what I wanted to talk to you about was actually some recent events that have affected me. And I want to bring them up because I thought I'd give a little bit of a human touch to my life. Most of the time, every morning, I go out onto my balcony and I do bagua. I train for about an hour before having breakfast. And then I go off and have work. And then when I get home, I try to do some more. Because it's a new job, I've been it for the last 2 months. It's been taking me away from the things I love, like doing podcasts. That's why you haven't heard from me so frequently. But I endeavor and I will try to be more frequent now that things are slowly settling into a routine. So anyway, I've been doing it. Been top of the morning, feeling great, enjoying the sunshines, loving my life, and actually having the sensation of, I actually enjoy my life. Not because of anything in particular. And that's a new place to be for me. Because normally when we love life, we're doing something. It might be a celebration. It might be an event. We might have been taking drugs, alcohol, whatever, which are all external stimulants. Or we're trying to convince ourselves that life is great. So for me, for the first time, just out of the blue, just that realization of going, oh, I love my life. It actually feels really sweet. I'm enjoying this. It's wonderful. And I had about 2 weeks of it. Every morning, get up and just enjoying the birds, enjoying the breeze, enjoying the light. And some mornings have been freezing cold, but also enjoying the weather, whatever the weather gives. Now, some of you will be listening to this and going, oh, you know, he's just loving life, but my life sucks. Well, yeah, I'm there as well sometimes. It's taken a long time to get to this place where no matter what happens, I can enjoy life. It didn't just happen overnight. I mean, I came from, when I was 28, I came from New Zealand. And my thoughts were in a very dark place. I left New Zealand, and I'm sorry to say if you're a Kiwi, but you need to hear this, because I meet a lot of Kiwis who are living in Sydney, Australia, and they're very closed up and reserved. And so I know what they're feeling when they come here. So I will just spell it out. I left New Zealand because, one, the weather in Auckland, after a while of constant rain, is quite miserable and gloomy. And I know there are some countries around the world where too much miserable weather can give a person suicidal thoughts. And it's just general misery. I also left the place because I wanted to be closer to the rest of the world. I didn't like the fact that to travel the world, I have to, whatever the cost of an airline ticket is from Sydney, I have to pretty much add in New Zealand dollars more than $1,000 on top of that to travel. You know, I guess because the North Island is an island, I was feeling a bit of a cabin fever after a while. But more importantly, I left because of the upbringing I had in New Zealand from all the other Kiwis, the constant teasing and bullying. And I got that when I was younger, like, you know, starting at school, because I came to New Zealand when I was 6 years old. And the only language I could speak was German, because my dad is Austrian, and I was constantly teased and bullied at school. So I had to learn to fight all the time. Now, I already knew how to fight, because I had a judo background from when I was living in Germany. So I knew a bit of that. And also, with my brothers, we were always fighting at home. So when I went to school, fighting was in the blood. On top of that, for those of you who understand this, from my mom's side, we're all also Jarvises. And if you ever met someone with a surname of Jarvis, usually spelled J-A-R-V-I-S, they have a propensity to get into fights a lot. So if you ever meet a Jarvis, just watch yourself. They love fighting. It's in the blood. So when I was at school, I was constantly being teased and bullied, and I was always fighting. But all that teasing and bullying, while for those of you who want to be tougher, it sounds great, but it does a number on the mind. And eventually the physical teasing and bullying stops, because you know you get good at fighting, and it goes from that to being just challenged in fights because you're good at fighting, so you just end up fighting all the time, to it does a number on the head, the way you think, and you go around feeling like you're not wanted, like you're being kicked out. And even though there are people nice, you know, and treat you well, the distortion in the mind taints everything, how we see the world. And so when I came to Sydney, Australia, the first thing I noticed that was different was the weather. Man, it's beautiful and sunny here. That had a massive impact on my mood. Secondly, I enjoyed the fact I no longer felt like I was feeling cabin fever always, because I knew I could go in one direction, west, and basically going to the outback, and I could travel for days upon end and never see the sea again. And it's a funny thing, because now that I have the freedom to not see the sea, I do actually miss it. And there are parts of me that wants to just be wild and go and swim in the ocean. Go figure. It's very... yeah, people can be full of contradictions. And then, you know, I met the people here and they were all so friendly compared to New Zealanders. Most Kiwis I meet tend to be very closed up, very tight-lipped and very reserved and very serious. You know, unnaturally serious. It can border on bitterness. So it's been about, so I came here in 2003, so now it's 2023, so it's now 20 years of living in Sydney. And before I was in New Zealand, I didn't know about Bagua. My roots in Taoism was the I Ching and a little bit of the Tao Te Ching, and also Wei Qi or Go, the game. But it was primarily through the I Ching. So that is my roots. And then I also met my wife in New Zealand, who's Chinese from Hong Kong. And so there is the nuances that come when you're married into someone from Chinese culture that you don't get if you're just reading a book or just trying to understand certain things about Taoism. So, yeah, you know, it took 16 years to 20 years to actually get to a place of where I can just say straight out, I love my life. And then, yep, but on cue, I had an incident where basically I got reviewed and the review was basically shit. And I was surprised at how much it impacted me. But here is the great thing about Bagua Zhang that I really wanted to speak about. And that Bagua Zhang helps to build resilience. Not just mental resilience, but physical resilience. What I mean by that is that while my mind was going off into negative thoughts and my feelings were basically crap, every morning on cue, I kept doing Bagua. You know, and it was only just yesterday where I went, despite what I'm thinking and feeling, and despite having weird thoughts like I'm going to give it all up, I'm still doing it. I'm still doing Bagua every morning. And I'm grateful for that, because that's when I started doing Bhagwat. That's what I wanted. I said, I wanted a martial art, or even if you don't call it that, an exercise or meditation. I will keep doing it no matter what happens, so that if I get a blow, I'll get back up. If I feel like shit, I get back up. If I have an accident, I get back up. No matter what the situation, I will get back up and train. And I want to do it automatically. I want to keep going. So that if my mind is losing the plot and going, oh, woe is me, the crew, which is the body, is still sailing forward, is still moving forward. Bhagwajang to the army, to the body, is like having a well-trained and drilled army that will keep to the spirit of the campaign, no matter what head office is thinking. Because there will be times where you will be tested, you will have doubts, your own doubts will be tricked into making you stop. Some dickhead will turn up out of the blue and try to test you out along the path. And here is the fucked up bit about it, is that they will challenge you, you know, as you know, to a fight or whatever it is, because they want you to prove what you're doing is the real deal. But they don't see that we're just trying to walk the Tao, follow the Tao, be the Tao, whatever, understand the Tao as best we can within our own circumstances. You know, I have moments where I'm doing Bhagwa, I tell myself, no, I'm not doing a martial art, I'm just doing walking meditation. Who am I kidding? I'm just fooling myself. You know? I have moments where I think, I don't know what I'm talking about, what I'm thinking. And yet, throughout all those moments, the Bhagwa just keeps moving. I keep walking the circle. I keep meditating. And I know that through experience, it takes a couple of days, that those negative moments is the final hurdle, the final resistance or test I need to have a major breakthrough. Now, for some of you listening, you're going to go, oh, he has a major breakthrough. He's going to tell us something enlightening. No, I'm sorry to say, sometimes the breakthrough is all we get is to have the chance to do more Bhagwa. To have the chance to just keep going. Because the breakthrough looks exactly like a few days before, when we weren't even having the trouble we're having moments before. A lot of people try to read the Tao Te Ching and get enlightened. And they think life will be bliss, life will be perfect, life will be everything they imagine it to be. Unfortunately, it's not always the case. Sometimes life just carries on. And that's a hard place to be, to just have life. You know, the guys who challenge us and they think they're so mighty, they think they're getting... No, you're just a stepping stone, a tiny hurdle. In the greater scheme of things, you know, you're just a pothole along the road of many, many trials and tribulations that come our way. You know, when I tell people, and I haven't told this for a long time because I'm getting to the place where it is getting harder and harder to talk about Taoism. It's getting actually really hard to talk about anything really, including Bhagwajang in itself, what it means to actually practice and to be good at it. But when I tell people I'm a living Tao, a lot of people look at me and laugh and they're in shock. And I used to feel like embarrassed. And I go, but then I ask myself, they don't even know what Taoism is. I'm being judged by people who have got no fucking clue what this life is about. They have no fucking clue what it means to be different. What it means to walk in spirit. You know, what it means to have a different point of view. What it means to see the good in a situation when everybody else around you is whinging and complaining, you know, and won't stop with the bitching. They don't know what it means to be the sole person in whatever organization or team or group you are who is following this path, who has chosen to follow this path. To most of you who are listening to this, you weren't born a Taoist. You chose it. And if you're listening to me, you've chosen to go beyond the superficial. You've chosen to make your whole life part of a reflection of the Tao, or Bagua, or the I Ching, or Tao Te Ching. You've chosen to go beyond just going surface level stuff and going, right, I've read the Tao Te Ching 3 times. I don't understand what the fuck he's on about, but I will try to manifest it in my life so that I can experience it. And then when you go and experience it, you try to tell someone, you still don't know what the fuck it's on about. You instinctively know, but to explain it to others is difficult. Or even worse, and a lot of you will relate to this, you're explaining it to the person in plain English or whatever language you speak in simple terms. A chicken can understand you better, but the person in front of you goes, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. And you're going, okay, I'll do a recording of myself, listen to myself. And you're going, no, that makes sense. I'm not saying anything mystical. Everything I say is very day-to-day, but the dude still thinks I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Now that is a hard place to be in. That is a really fucking hard place to be. Because you get to the place where you just shut up and you don't want to say anymore, you know. And you're never sure if who you're speaking to is the right audience. Now, you don't want to preach to the choir, but you don't exactly want to, you know, hide it away either. But that's the great thing about Bagua. While we're trying to figure all this shit out mentally, you know, we just keep getting up and we keep doing our Bagua. We don't stop for anything. And we get to a place where eventually life revolves around us, not in an egotistical way, but it is the important thing. For those of you who are very churchy, I'll say it this way. When we do Bagua, we are in church. The action of doing Bagua Zhang is going to church, is being in church, is the preaching and the choir and the pulpit and the Holy Communion. The act of Bagua is all of that. So, for those of you who are following the urban path, because most of us live in a city and we're around a lot of people, that is, in a simple way, what Bagua Zhang does. It gives us resilience. It allows us to keep moving forward, even when we're taking one for the team or we feel like shit or whatever. We keep getting up and we keep training. We keep practicing, we keep doing our changing hands and palms, and we keep walking the circle. We never stop. When we feel like shit, we get up and do it. When we're sick, we get up and do it. When we're miserable, we get up and do it. When we feel suicidal, we get up and do it. When we feel we want to give up, which is a big one, we get up and do it. That's the level of Bagua Zhang you want to be at. Where when it gets too cold or too hard or too whatever, you're fucking sitting there thinking about doing Bagua Zhang. When you can't do it anymore, you're sitting there about doing Bagua Zhang. When you're stuck waiting for something because people are taking too long, you're thinking about Bagua Zhang. I'm not kidding. That's what happens with me when I'm at work. I can be doing my work, breathing good. What people, if anyone asks me what I'm thinking about, I'm thinking about Bagua Zhang. Or I'm thinking about Taoism in relation to Bagua Zhang. That is the way of a Bagua master.